Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Donna Adelson, yeah, that Donna, took the stand this week, and let's just say it did not go the way she had planned. The 75-year-old matriarch of the Adelson family now facing first-degree murder charges in the murder for hire of Dan Markell, pleaded with the court for release, claiming she was a frail elderly woman, lots of sighs, suffering behind bars. This is how she testified. She described jail assaults, medical neglect, and sleep deprivation, painting herself as the victim of the system rather than the crime. But then came the prosecution's move, the jailhouse phone calls, where she was caught discussing escape plans with her son. And there's that. Charlie, you know, who the judge ruled bond denied and the recorded calls admissible at trial. It was game over for Donna's attempted freedom. Joining me to discuss, retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer, host of Break the Case, a podcast. You can get it wherever you download podcasts and on YouTube. Very good interviews there. I was watching part of your live. I just caught the very end of it the other night, but it was very emotional. Anyway. It's good. And analyze Donna's courtroom performance, the evidence against her, and what happens next. Jennifer, you've seen your fair share of high-stakes interrogations and testimony. What's your take on Donna's attempt to talk her way out of jail? Did her time in there, you know, help the case, or did she just dig her hole a bit deeper?
Her hole was dug a lot deeper, Tony, and I can't imagine why her attorney thought this would be a good idea, but my guess is, like we've discussed in other cases, that ultimately it is up to the client. And if the client says, listen, I think I can get up there and look at how I've aged, and I'm going to put on a show and I'm going to convince this judge. The issue is they seem to forget or not look through all the discovery and say, this might be a bad idea. And it just was a horrible idea. And there was no way that she was going to be released even without those tapes, because she was getting ready to go to Vietnam anyway.
Yeah.
Before she was ever arrested.
And that's the fun part of this whole thing. She even like claimed to have an excuse and a reason why. She's someone who has a reason for everything. She's what I would call but I was just type person, where everything that they do, they're never wrong. There's never any flaws to any of their thinking. And if they're ever questioned about it, it's just met with sighs and, but I was just doing this or that. And she seemed to have gotten through life pretty well with that. It's just kind of now, it seems, at an older age and not having, you know, this family that, you know, doubts on her every move or every whim, that it doesn't seem to work so well anymore. I think she's having a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah, she's definitely having a hard time adjusting. Look, anybody would have a hard time adjusting in jail,
sure,
for their first time, but she lived a very privileged life. And the thing is that just, it's always astounding, and it is almost humorous that these people literally just think they can get over on everybody, mm-hmm, and on the system. And on a judge and attorneys and people in the audience, that somehow they are so they're so smart, they're so wise, they're so well-spoken that they just think that they can convince everything of their folly. And they never can.
They can't. And it's, you can feel the frustration in her testimony the other day. It was very interesting for her to be up on the stand doing all this, because it just did not play well at all. I know she was trying to do the frail old lady thing, but I didn't feel it. It just felt like a very manipulative, narcissistic person. And anyone who's dealt with a person like that before, I mean, that was like the definition of it on the stand.
Yeah. It's true. You know, I know that those are psychological analyses that have to be made by, sure, psychiatrist, but nevertheless, Tony, as you and I both know, we see the behaviors in criminals that they often have all of these characteristics, and they literally think they are the smartest person, not in the room, in the universe.
Yeah. And that's when you look it through, look through that lens to try to understand the thinking. It makes a lot more sense to go, oh, this is why she's acting this way, because she thinks this way. The prosecution wasted no time countering Donna's plea for sympathy. They played the jailhouse phone calls, where she and Charlie are openly discussing countries with no extradition. How important is that for prosecutors to use the subject's own words against them? And how much weight does that kind of evidence carry, especially when this comes to trial?
Oh, it carries so much weight. And you look at this twofold, right? In a hearing like this, you're looking at, can you prove danger to the community? In other words, that she would commit a crime like this again or something else harmful. Second, you're looking at, are they a flight risk? That's the two-pronged test. Well, this just blew number two away because clearly she would have been trying to maneuver to get out of the country mm-hmm. and to a country that it'd be difficult to get her back. There's no better evidence than video and audio mm-hmm. of a perpetrator's own words.
Yeah. And 75 years old grandma, she already tried to get out once. I would not be surprised if she attempted that again. But that being said, she is 75 years old and looking at a life sentence if she is convicted. Where do you think this goes? Do you think she's going to try and make some sort of a plea deal at this point? Is she going to flip on somebody, or is she just going to go down and, you know, just kind of fade off into the distance in prison if convicted?
I'm going to have to go with door number three. And this is why. I don't see the government making any sort of a deal except for something like, okay, we'll give you 25 years.
Yeah.
With a possibility of parole after 20, which is really a life sentence.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard living in prison, hard, hard living. And, you know, I don't know how long she would even make it. And it just doesn't behoove the government because they have a strong case. But I could see them throwing out something like that. And maybe she would take it. It's possible if she doesn't want to fight, but she seems like a fighter to me. Mm-hmm. And I think she would just say, listen, I'm going to die here anyway. So let me roll the dice and see if I, you know, what I can do.
Do you think this is the end of the Adelson saga? Are we going to be done after Donna is convicted, if she is convicted? Or are we going to see this continue onto another member of the family, like Wendy or somebody of that nature? Again, she's never been charged with anything, but a lot of people are wondering, what did she know?
Well, and you bring up such a great point, and I didn't talk about door number two. Could she, Donna Adelson, turn on her daughter, Wendy? Could that happen? And yeah. Would the state then be interested? Now, that's another story. Mm-hmm. I think the state would absolutely be interested because I think that they believe Wendy is knee deep in this deal. I mean, she drove right by, mm-hmm. You know, his place. So I think that they would love somebody to get on the stand and turn evidence against Wendy and expose her. If it's true, they don't want lies, but if it's true and they could corroborate it. But would Donna do that to her own daughter?
I don't know.
That's the question.
I think Donna would do it to anyone but her children. I think there's a possibility she would do it to her children if she felt wronged by them, but I don't know that she feels that way. I mean, sometimes those narcissistic megalomaniac type people, like, again, I think she seems to be, that's my conjecture. They keep some people very tight, and they will not do that to them. They will protect them. But then everybody else, it's the Wild West. I don't know. I don't know if she would do that.
I don't think she would. And I only say that, because of the grandchildren mm-hmm. and the fact that she did all of this mm-hmm. for her child, if yeah. you will. And so it just seems a complete oxymoron if then all of a sudden she would turn on Wendy. But could it happen? Anything's possible. I don't think it's probable.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.